The strange thwack-thwack noise coming from outside penetrated the warm, scented tangle of silk robes under which Akitara dozed, his face burrowed in his wife's warm neck. The curious noise warred for a time with some rather pleasant stirrings of desire for Tamako, until Akitara opened his eyes and saw the lines of gold made by sunshine falling through the closed shutters. Tamako turned to him with a soft rustle of silk, her bare feet seeking his. Her pretty face was flushed with sleep, her eyes heavy, perhaps with desire. But he decided it was too late for lovemaking. With a smile for Tamako, he rose, pushed back the shutters, and walked out onto the veranda. It was one of those perfect mornings. Blue skies, bird song, the wisteria heavy with purple blooms scenting the warm air. Then, from beyond the garden wall, came a ferocious, "Take that, you son of a mangy rat!" Thwack! "And that, you foul piece of dung!" Thwack! "And that, you empty gourd not good enough to hold dog's piss!" Thwack! Akitara smiled, his heart filled with almost perfect contentment.
"Yori!"
murmured Tamako, stepping out behind him and covering her ears. Akitara laughed softly. "Shh! He is practicing with his new sword. Tora must have built a straw man for him. I think Yori may grow up to be a famous swordsman. We've never had anything but dry poets and clerks in the Sugawara family." His wife shuddered.
"I hope not, and I wish you would not encourage him. His language is abominable." "That was also Tora's teaching, I suppose?"
Akitara thought how very pretty she was, standing there in her thin white underrobe, the silken hair rippling down her back and shimmering where the sun touched it. He reached for her and pulled her into his arms, whispering in her ear,
"Yori is almost 5, and I have a great desire for more children. Let us go back inside."
To his delight, he could feel the warmth of her flush against his cheek, and through the thin silk his palms sensed the merest shudder of desire. For a moment she relaxed against him, but then she pulled away gently.
"The sun is high already. Aren't you going to the Dai Diary today?"
The Dai Diary, or Greater Palace, was the walled and gated government complex occupying the northernmost center of the capital. It encompassed the imperial residence and all the ministries and bureaus. Akitara worked in the Ministry of Justice. With his wife's question, memory returned and drowned his joy. He released Tamako.
"You're right. It's late." He clapped his hands sharply.
From the other side of the wall, a child's voice called out,
"Good morning, honorable father and mother. Shall I bring your morning rice?"
Akitara shouted back,
"Good morning, Yori. Thank you, but Seimei will do it.
Ah, here he comes now. Keep up your practice."
Seimei had served Akitara's father before him. He was well past 70 now, and his thin back was bent from years of service. He moved slowly, but carried himself with the natural dignity of a respected family elder. There was no need for him to perform such humble services for his master, but the old man insisted, and his presence was a comfort to Akitara. Seimei bowed as he entered the room and set down the tray with two bowls of rice gruel.
"Will you be wearing your ordinary robe today?"
"Yes." Akitara eyed his food with distaste. The thought of his problems at the ministry had taken his appetite. Seimei departed with another bow, and husband and wife sat on the veranda, sipping their gruel to the accompaniment of more thwacks and ferocious language. From time to time, Tamako glanced uneasily at her husband's thin features. She was too well-bred to pry into her husband's affairs, but after a long silence, she said cautiously,
"I suppose your new position entails many difficult cases."
"What? Oh, not at all. Just dull routine. Though there is enough of it." He fell back into his black mood and stared into his half-filled bowl. When she reached across to touch his forehead, he raised his eyes, surprised.
"You're not eating. I wondered if you might be feverish. There has been talk about smallpox."
"I'm perfectly well." He took a small sip from the bowl to prove it. "There are always rumors about some disease. We've had 20 years without a major outbreak of smallpox in the capital. You must not pay attention to such tales.